Yeah. Sister Carly, was that the first time you sung that song? First time I've ever heard it, though. And you didn't know what I was preaching on tonight, did you? I didn't know what she was singing about either. You know, I like it when the Holy Spirit just works things together like that. And Sister Tanya's testimony, confirmation that I've got the right message. You know, I like it when things come together. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, and keep your Bibles open. I'm going to read a couple of different passages in 1 and 2 Timothy here this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and begin reading at verse number 12. I thought I was going to be preaching out of the book of Revelations, but I felt like going this direction tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He said, fight the good fight of faith. If you mark in your Bibles, I would ask you to mark, underline, good fight. And you know that this is God's Word, but it's my Bible. I hope you understand me. I'm not being disrespectful by marking in my Bible. If you get a hold of my Bible, you'll know it's my Bible. It's got highlights in it. It's got marks. It's got notes. It's my Bible. It's God's Word, but it's my Bible. And I'll write notes in it for a later sermon or for something that inspires me when I read it and I see it for the first time. And I say, man, that's speaking to me. I'll write a little note down beside it, or I'll write something in it to make me remember what it was that God spoke to me. And so I hope you don't think I'm being disrespectful when I tell you, if you mark in your Bible, to underline these passages. But he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession. Underline good profession before many witnesses. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Just flip back a few chapters. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 18. This is Paul writing here. He said this, he's writing here to his son in Christ. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Mark in your Bibles, a good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience. Underline good conscience. Which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, and verse number 3. 2 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And you guessed it right. I want you to underline good soldier of Jesus Christ. We see here first, he says to fight a good fight. I was told by my parents that all fighting was bad. I knew what they were saying. Don't get into trouble, Denton Hubbard. Don't be picking on the other guy. Turn the other cheek. I've heard that all of my life. But there are some fights, according to the Word of God, according to what Paul was telling his son Timothy in the gospel, that there are some good fights. Well, what constitutes a good fight? A good fight is a fight that we're going to win. If I fight a good fight, it's a fight that I don't want to fight a fight if I'm not going to win it. I've come up on the short stick several times, and it's not fun. I want to fight a fight that I am confident beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am going to be victorious. Now, he gives us here some progression of fighting a fight. A good fight can never start without a profession of faith. It starts the moment that you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're fighting a fight and you haven't given it to Jesus, you're fighting the wrong fight. You're fighting a battle that you'll never win. A good profession leads to a good conscience. You know, a good soldier has a hard time fighting if his mind is on anything but the battle. I don't know if the military still does this or not, but whenever you used to, when you would join the military, and maybe some of the people in here that are veterans can verify this, but when you join the military, one of the first things they do is they examine your teeth. A soldier with a toothache on the battlefield is no good to himself or anybody around him. They don't want you fighting with something that is hindering you or something that is bothering you. You got to have a good conscience. A good conscience leads to a good soldier. I was visiting with Brother J.D. Williams the other day. A lot of you probably know Brother J.D. Brother J.D. had come to this church at a really hard time in his life. His family had been, I won't go into a lot of detail, but his family had been hurt. And some of y'all know what it's like to be hurt. And they was hurt bad. But Brother J.D., he's a little bit stubborn. He told me the other day, he said, you know your dad? He said, I admired that man. But he said he had a sneaky way of doing things. Said he could get me to do things that nobody else could ever get me to do. And I'd already done it. And then think, well, that sneaky little fox. He done went and got me to do something that I said I'd never do. He was fighting a good fight because he had a good conscience. And because he had a good conscience, he was a good soldier. Some of you remember Suhak Uy, the Buddhist that converted to Christianity and got saved and actually started a Christian school in China that the church helped promote. Dad would take him fishing, Brother Isaac, out there catching them old nasty catfish. And Buddhists, they believe in reincarnation. Every time Dad would set the hook, thank you, Jesus. After a while, it got to him. He didn't know it, but what Dad was doing was fighting a fight. He was witnessing to him every time he was catching a fish. He would talk to him about the Lord and about salvation and his slipping in here and there. He was fighting a good fight. Well, why is it a good fight? I jotted down just a few things. Number one, because God is fighting for you. We may put on the whole armor of God, We may go into battle, but God shows up to fight the fight. It's a good fight. The Bible tells us, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to stop or destroy you. It is a good fight because we are going to win. I've read the end of the book. I know how the story ends. We are going to win. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's a good fight because the devil is going to lose. You know, that is one feller that I do not care for. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. As Brother Virgil says, he's a fat mouth. If I can do anything to tear down his kingdom, I'm going to do it. He has done me nothing but wrong. He has lied on me. He's cheated on me. I despise the devil. And if I can fight a fight, win the fight, and put the devil in his place, that's a good fight. If I can pull somebody out of the grasp of hell, that is a good fight. It is a good fight because the battle has an expiration date. God has already marked your coming out date. Listen to me, storms don't last forever. You may be going through a trial. You may be going through a problem. I thought about Joseph whenever he was lied upon and put by Potiphar's wife and put in the prison. God had already marked out a plan for Joseph to come out of jail and come out victorious. I thought about Job whenever Job said that he was in the pit. David was in the pit. David, he's famous for this phrase, for this passage. He said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Before David ever went into the pit, God had already marked his coming out day. It's a good fight. When you come out stronger than what you went in. There are times that I go through a trial. And I wonder, why am I going through this trial? Lord, I'm fighting with all that is within me. But Brother Jared, when I come out on the other side, I'm stronger. I've got more faith. I can preach another message. I can go another mile. I can help somebody else. I'm stronger in battle. I'm a better soldier. Because I fought a good fight. I did not give up. He knows exactly when the victory will come. Paul told his brother, his son, Timothy, in the Lord, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, I have finished my course. Don't give up. Don't give in. The battle is yours. I see so many people that if they could just have held on just one more day, one more week, victory would have come. fight a good fight. We know about the confession part, but what about their profession? You cannot have a profession without repentance. And I'm going to be, just give me another 5 minutes. I'm not going to be long tonight. But you cannot have a profession without confession. You can't have a good fight without confession. I'm going to be just a little bit blunt tonight. But if you don't have repentance, I see ministers, they say, well, you know, so many number of people gave their heart and life to Christ this morning. You can pray the prayer of salvation over them all you want to, but until they repent, they will never have a profession of salvation. When you have a profession of salvation, you are going to have a fight. The devil is going to jump all over you. Well, it got me to thinking. I think everybody here tonight probably knows what repentance means. We think of repentance as the New Testament. We think, my mind automatically goes to the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 19. You're familiar with this passage. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We understand that repenting means to change our ways, to do a 180-degree turn and to change our lifestyle and change what we're doing, change who we are. But why are so many not fighting the good fight? Brother Virgil, it made me start digging. And I got to looking at what does the Old Testament say about repentance. It was interesting. 1,066 times the Old Testament says either to repent or return. There's two letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Every letter means something. And basically what, I won't bore you with trying to quote the Hebrew alphabet, but basically what it is saying, every time that it is used, it is referring to a warfare terminology. They use it in warfare, brother. Whenever a nation or a group of people, the Amorites or the Amalekites or any of the other ites would come up and they would go to war. They would battle against one another. Whenever a country was defeated or a nation was defeated and they took them into captivity, they would burn the city. Number one, as they was taking captivities out, taking them into slavery, they would make them turn around and look at the city and their houses that was on fire. That done something for me. It put a whole new light on repenting. Whenever we get saved, there's so many times that people will come to the to salvation. If this doesn't work, well, then I'll just go back to my old ways. I'll go back to the way that I'll go back to my old house. I'll go back to the way I used to live. In the Old Testament, they would make them turn around and look. There is nothing to go back to. There's nothing this world has to offer that I want anymore. Whenever we look at it in that light, and when we burn the houses that we used to live in, there is no more temptation to go back to the pills. No more temptation to go back to the bottle. No more temptation to go back to the fleshly desires. That is burned. That is gone. That is not who I am anymore. I am a child of the King. I'm fighting the good fight. Just to be kind of brutal, we say either turn or burn. We tear up the old life. And it makes me wonder, why is the church trying to drag us back into the old habits? It seems like so many members of the church are trying to live on the edge and see what we can get away with and still go to church and still feel the move of God. We need to burn what used to be. That is not me anymore. The Spaniard, Hernando Cortez, is he? I don't know that I agree with all of that. I think a lot of it's probably legend. And I don't know really how much of it is truth. I believe it was between 11 and 12 ships whenever he landed on the sunny banks of Mexico. With 600 men, he looked in his men's eyes, knowing he was outnumbered by the Aztec Empire. Brother Virgil, he knew that there would be some of them that would try to the fear would get a hold of them, and they'd try to turn around and run back to the ship. They say that the thing to do was to burn them. But according to history, he sank the ships. There was no going back. Outnumbered, overwhelmed. They had no choice and nowhere to return to. They had to fight and fight on to victory. It may seem like that this world is overwhelming tonight. It may seem like the pressures are closing in. But I'm here to tell you, we have nothing to go back to. The old lifestyle is gone. I'm a child of the King. I'm fighting a good fight with a good conscience. And I'm going to be a good soldier. Because this world is not my home. I've got a home that I'm fighting for. And that place is called heaven. I don't want to be the person that I used to be. If you don't want to be that person, burn your house. Brother Keith, don't take this literally. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If we're going to fight a good fight, we have to have a good profession of faith. We have to have a good conscience. And if we have a good conscience, we'll be a good soldier. And if we're a good soldier, we're going to have a good warfare, because if you've got a good warfare, you've got a plan. And my plan is to make heaven my home and take everyone I can with me. I think we can fight on, church. I think we can live to fight another day.